Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I just thank God for the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
I thank God for His Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just an on time, because I was just going to get into the Word, but and just let the song play out, you know, but the song that the Lord had playing at the time, you all happened to come out of prayers, I'm Still Standing. And like, what an apropos song for what's all been going on in these last 2 or 3 months, in Jesus' name, glory be to God. I've been really having a challenge spiritually the last going on 1 month, and I'm thankful that the Lord is doing a lot of good coaching.
Amen.
For me personally, and growing me up, and realizing there's no one to trust in but God and God alone.
Amen.
Glory be to God. I haven't talked about it, but I'll be by being led to tonight and use the Wednesday night, even though it's others too, but I believe I'm being led to talk about it, and I think it's good. I think we have a very mature church who's been taught the Word of God for many, many years. And so, as you well know, Monday, May 25th, George Floyd was killed. And the following Sunday was June 1st, and we taught, it was after much prayer and much seeking of the Lord, knowing that emotions were very raw in God's people, in particular, God's black people and people of color. And those who are very sensitive, white children of God, our white brothers and sisters. So very raw emotions. And so I know it was very, 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 very careful that I had to speak on the situation. And so after much prayer, I'm thankful for what the Lord did. And as I said before, what the Lord came up with was absolutely genius. And it was the Lord's idea, because I didn't know what to speak to God's people. And what he chose to do was to take all the raw emotions, anger, hatred, hopelessness, fear, sadness, and just bring them under the control and submission to the Word of God. I thought it was absolutely genius what God did with that. It was done as Alfred Fellow Horton Jr. called me later that day and said, it was done with compassion, and you gave us correction, but with compassion. And that was important. And my daughter called later that day too, thanking me for the same exact thing. Somewhere in that, about it was being done with love and compassion.
Yeah.
The Word of God says to speak the truth in love. The following Sunday, that was June 1st, Sunday. George Floyd's death was a week before, May 25th, following Sunday, June 1st. And then the following of that week, later that week, right around Wednesday, Thursday, the uprisings began, and they began to get out of order. And so right around June 10, 11, 12, the uprisings went to another level. And so six, seven, eight, somewhere in there. So June 7th, which is the following Sunday, still not saying that right, probably June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And then the following Sunday, June 7th, after 3 days of uprising, Pastor John MacArthur, who I have listened to for 22 years, poured over his sermons for 22 years, since 98, gotten a lot of foundational things from him. As you well know, I did not go to seminary school, and I learned a lot. The Lord used his sermons and things of that nature. And so he taught on who's responsible for the riots. And this disturbed me, and that's when my disturbance began, which was the 7th of June. And I just knew that wasn't really the loving thing to do. And I'm going to bring this together because I'm not just telling on another brother. It really is really more about for myself to let you know as your pastor to respond to things of this nature. And you don't put your trust in any man. And so after that sermon, my daughter went out to the car and cried. She cried because she just felt so unloved and kind of beaten up on. And there wasn't that compassion. And so she talked to one of the black ministers on staff. And, you know, he kind of said the same thing that, you know, I came really needing some support and some compassion and some understanding, and all I got was just came out of it just really depressed and really discouraged. And then the 14th was a follow-up, a part two of that. I'm like, wow, maybe this is going to be better, but wasn't much better. And so the same thing again. And so the disturbance of my spirit just continued on. That was the 14th. And then last week was a touch better, because during the week of the 14th, after part two, the one black elder and other black ministers and congregation black members, all black men, through the black elder, they got an audience with Dr. MacArthur of that week, which was last week. And as a matter of fact, two of the black men in that conference were here, living here in Michigan. And just so happened that they were, I was teaching some college students a few years ago. They were in the room there, in the college room, and they were converted to Reformed theology through that, and then end up going out to California, ending up at Grace Church. And so the black men got together and spoke to him. And you know, the word of God says about don't rebuke not an elder except and give you the rules when you can. And there is a way to rebuke an elder, and you can do it in love. And they did. They lovingly rebuked him. And he just didn't see things. He just didn't. He thought, wow, I'd never think that and think of that and think of that. And he asked for forgiveness several times throughout the three or four hour conference with these black men. And at the end, he told them to give me 5 points to like put in my introduction that you want me to mention, and for the next sermon, which was just past this past Sunday, the 21st. And in his introduction, he mentioned racism is sin. We need to be more compassionate. We need to be more loving. We need to listen more, and so forth. And those were the things. And then he went on to a sermon, which was a Father's Day sermon, which is a good sermon. And so, you know, I'm saying to the Lord, you know, I really want to just move on from this. I don't like feeling as disturbed as I've been. And I've tried to move on for over 3 weeks, and they just not let me move on. And so, I guess, you know, I'm not supposed to move on. I'm supposed to keep praying and praying and praying for my brother, who happens to be white, and happens to... I don't like the word blind spot, but because I've talked to two elders at Grace, the Lord has given me inroads to two of them, one white, one black. It was sort of kind of excuses made, and amen, we all have our faults, we all have our sins. You can use them blind spots, but they're sins, they're weights and sins. When you don't have compassion, when you don't see that you just stepped on a person's head and walked off and don't even realize it. We do that too, but you know, you don't make excuses for it. It's gotta be seen as what it is. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. He tells you, hey, you are way out of order here. You're missing it. You know, and that makes me really grateful that we teach Leading, being led moment by moment by the Holy Spirit. It's present, active, imperative. Present, it's ongoing, you're to be led. Active, you are to be led. Imperative, it's a command that you be led. My sheep hear my voice in the voice of a stranger. I mean, that means he's speaking. If he has a hearing, that's speaking. And I just kind of wonder what is being taught as far as application concerning being led moment by moment by the Holy Spirit. Because he'll tell you when you're just out of order and you're just missing the whole thing. I just don't see a part two coming behind that if you got the Holy Spirit. I've been jacked up for over going on a month. I mean, just terribly jacked up. Terrible. Just terrible. Not terrible. Terrible. Really disturbing my spirit. And I've just been praying and praying and praying. And I said, Lord, I'm praying for me too. In case I'm feeling some type of way and I don't need to be. But I just believe that just prayer just got to continue to go forward. And as I tell you, I need you to pray extra for me during this time. This has been a really challenging time. Not complaining. Nope. Just letting you know. Because these times I am forced to be focused. It forces me to be focused because you're so disturbed. The world really just falls away. You don't care. Like, Lord, it's me and you. So these have been extra times of just extra conversation with the Lord, extra making further deeper examination. Let a man examine himself. Great examination. Lord, I'm not trying to be a high and mighty. You know, Lord, warn me. Yep, because you got it right and you heard me and you were compassionate. Don't. That was my grace. And the fact that he didn't quite do it maybe like I want him to do it, don't you dare. Not at all. You do kept Galatians 6:1. If a brother's overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual do what? Restore such a one. And how do you do it? In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. My heart breaks for that brother. That's my brother. Tony, I've had tremendous respect for 22 years. Yeah. That's a long time to be poring over scriptures. For that, the Lord speaks to that man. I know that. But as I was telling the young black minister on his staff, I said, you know, God is working through straight sinners of white folks who are seeing that their mindset has been wrong. I said, he certainly can work through one of his own children. It's not going to give a pass on that. I understand the fine line. I'm not saying being unmerciful. I'm not being unforgiving. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, you don't give a pass on it. You pray about it. You continue to pray. And that's my assignment. I'm thinking my assignment in all of this is that I must pray and continue to pray and keep praying. Being reminded that it is crucial to speak the truth in love. You can speak truth, but there is a time to speak certain truth. It's always time to speak truth, but it's not always time to speak that truth. What he said weren't necessarily lies per se, but it wasn't the timing. You know, when he was in the meeting with his black brothers, you know, they want to ask him, if George Floyd's family was watching your service, would you think that was the way to go? He dropped his head, which I thank God, and asked for forgiveness. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. We've got to hear the Holy Spirit. You've got to be led. You've got to be led. Recognize the seriousness of the moment. Recognize raw emotions. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. Our indigenous brothers and sisters, our native, they are completely overlooked all day, every day. And they are Christian or indigenous in the United States of America who are just as invisible as black people. Mm-hmm. And they are as indigenous, y'all, as the proper name for what we call Indian. I know some of you know already. Where are prayers for them? of compassion. God's children come in all colors, and we are supposed to be respected. Period. The same one of another. And wherever we're lacking in compassion, we need to get on our knees and beg the Lord, please help me in this area. Because I'm struggling. But you can never ask for help if you don't think you have a problem. And that's a problem. Hence the series, Getting Rid of the Toxic Interracial Hatred. Because if you don't understand that you have a problem, or you don't know you have a problem, or you don't think you have a problem, you're in trouble. I told that young black pastors, I told the white pastor too, both of them. So this is a problem that is pervasive throughout the body of Christ. How can you teach on unity, which was the last sermon in the Shepherd's Conference, March 2020 of this year. Pastor MacArthur taught this room full of pastors, close to 4,000, on unity. Then 2 months later, we come to this. And I'm going to say the Lord brought that sermon back. I'm like, how hollow is that? How can you have unity when you don't even respect me as your equal? I'm not even your equal. The Word of God says you're supposed to prefer me, the other person, above yourself. I told the black pastor, how can I even get to that when I'm not even your equal? How can you obey the Word of God in that area? How can you truly love your neighbor as yourself? How? I told my wife, I said, I feel like John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Is anybody listening? You build your churches and you have your clothing drives and you have your altar calls and yet the elephant is still in the room. This is an elephant in the room that's not being addressed. Racism or racial hatred or racial indifference or racial problems, whatever word you want to call it, whatever phrasing you want to do, it's a major, major problem in the American church. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. And there can be no true unity until we address that elephant in this room. There can be no true unity. How can we speak the same mind? How can we have the same mind, thinking the same thing? I think it's Romans 2, 1 Corinthians 2, one of them talks about. How can that really be? How can you do Romans 12 and 10? Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one before the other. How can you ever get to that? How can you ever love your neighbor as yourself? How? He told this young black pastor, 27 years old, told Dr. MacArthur, he said, this is a shepherd's issue. You gotta speak to your people. Address the people. It's not by accident that you all are here at Word of Life. Then I need to shepherd you here at Word of Life, not the culture. It's important that I do that, and woe be unto me if I don't do that. My dear sister, Rolanda Danielle Crouch Harris I, constantly prays for me that pray for Pastor Harris that he'll be led, influenced, controlled. That is a prayer that I don't want you to ever stop praying for me. That I am continually conscious of my own weaknesses, feebleness, shortcomings, inadequacies, infirmities. To distrust my own powers, might, abilities, and strength. Because you can get comfortable. Especially in a ministry where people are being blessed by the ministry. You can kind of like, hey, just a touch. And all it takes is just a moment to be distracted. It only takes a moment. You thinking you all that, it don't take nothing but a moment. And next thing you know, how did I get here? Or how am I saying this to over 90 countries? In the entire world. How did I get here? Because you can trust your own powers, might, abilities, and strength. So help me to distrust my own powers, might, abilities, and strength. and to always, comma, always look to you for aid, help, support, and strength. I knew that June 1st, after the 7 days later after Floyd's death, I said, this is a raw situation. I need you. No way. I'm even going to try to tackle this. Because I don't know what to do. These are your people. Help me out of shepherd them. I don't know what to do. JR called me. Pastor DeJuan called me. My daughter called me. I need some help. Everybody called me. Give me some advice, something, bro. Because I'm mad. I'm sad. My brother, my son called me. My son-in-law, but he just son. I need some help here, man. He's still talking. We talking last week. I'm still overwhelmed and broke down and this and that and the other. Help me. The black pastor, I talked to him yesterday for an hour and 47 minutes. Folks need some directs. They need God's direct. They don't need your opinion. They don't need your theories. They don't need your philosophies. Because the devil is slick. You can think a certain way and fit scripture on it and go over those scriptures. You're going over the truth. But you're going over it in a from an angle that's not what God is leading you to do. The word of God can be misused, even though you're giving scripture. It's all about you. As a shepherd, it says, feed the flock of God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. We must continue to pray. And we must continue self-examination. Considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. Word of God says, mind not, King James, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Come down, get off your high horse, and let the Lord let you know, tell you that you're on a high horse, because he's got to tell you, and you won't know it. I was listening to a sermon Dr. Moeller was talking about the gospel. It is even the grace of God that we can even repent adequately enough to where God can accept it. I'm like, I've never thought of that. Because even our repentance would be tinged with wickedness because we're so corrupt as fallen people. We even need help with that. Yeah, we can't even repent properly. We need him. That's one thing about Luther. He was tripping way gone at first, but because he would repent and then he would question whether or not that repentance was good enough, and then he would question that question, and he just, because he didn't understand about grace, he knew that he just wasn't worthy of anything on his own. And he finally found out about grace. But I said, Lord, help me to have that attitude towards sin that he had. I mean, he had almost a deranged view of sin. But he didn't understand grace. So he's like, well, how can you really, how can God, a loving God, love? He thought it was just impossible because he didn't know about grace. That's what the Old Testament didn't understand. Those who understood the sinfulness of man, that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes, and what vanity of vanity, all is vanity. This is nothing. This is garbage. Someone once said, even the best of men are men at best. Someone else said, if you don't let somebody lift you up, they can never let you down. We got got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 13, I think it is. 12. Let's turn there briefly. As he probably get ready to close, probably. Hebrews chapter 12. Yes, it is Hebrews 12. We'll start with verse 1. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Boy, is that loaded. If you don't know the sin, or you're not accepting the sin, you're not acknowledging the sin, you'll never lay it aside. And that's the problem. Going back to whatever word you want to use, you know, there were a couple folks that were, you know, he's not racist. That's irrelevant. It's like saying, I'm not a murderer. That doesn't mean I don't have any sin. Saying somebody, oh, he's not a murderer. But if you lack compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? It's the same thing as in James 2. You see your brother, sister, cold, hungry, wintertime, no shoes on their feet, hungry. And you say, be warm, be filled. But you do nothing toward them. They say, what good is that? Faith without works is dead. So just say, well, he's not a racist, or you're not a murderer. It's irrelevant, because that's not the problem, that you're not a murderer. The problem is, where's the compassion? Where is rejoice with them that do rejoice? By the way, that's present tense. Be rejoicing with those who are rejoicing, and be weeping with those who are weeping. Are we not told to be compassionate? Are we not told to be kind? This sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what I want you to see. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Even King James said, faint in your mind. Got to keep your eyes on Jesus. He's gone through it. And if nothing else, that's my assignment, keep my eye on Jesus. While I'm praying for my brother and others, I got to keep my eyes on the prize, on the King. Continue to guide me, continue to lead me, continue to direct me, help my thought life to stay right and stay proper. Help not to think evil for evil thoughts. Help me not to be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Help me to be patient and kind and gentle. That song was so on point. I'm still standing. I'm gonna bounce back. Boy, I needed that. Spiritual assignments can be very difficult. Physically, you're fine. You're not feeling any pain here. But spiritually, you know there's brokenness. And he'll use you. He'll say, you know, your assignment, you got to pray. You're going to feel the weight of this for a minute until I decide to get you up off it. In the meantime, you still ought to minister with joy on Wednesday about joy. We're talking about joy on Wednesday. Yep, I understand it, because it has nothing to do with circumstances or outer things, happenings of this world. Yep, right on point. I'm living that, because there's still joy. There's joy, even in the midst of grief. Glory be to God. Look at verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as men. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved of him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hard times, challenging times. Because even in sin, he still is speaking, he still is moving. He doesn't say, oh, he's a sinner, let me just stop helping him. He doesn't take his Holy Spirit from you. Glory be to God. Lord, I'm with you always. So I comfortably pray, well, Lord, whatever I got, roll right in, whatever my shortcomings, hey, bring them, reveal them to me so I can work on them too while I'm praying for my dear brother who is your son. And hence my brother. We are blood brothers. No matter what's happening, how anybody feels, my word of life, black children up in here, no matter how your white brothers or sisters are feeling, remember, they are still, if they're true children of God, they are your blood-washed, blood-bought brothers and sisters. Yeah. And we need to remember that. And I thank the Lord, that was the message. You know, part of that, room, I think one of the things was angry, if you're angry. You know, we said, you know, we read Romans 12. Do not take vengeance on yourself. Leave that for God. Vengeance is mine. We talked about that. I thank God for the genius that he is. He understands our feelings way better than I do. Way more thorough than I do. We need to be led by the Holy Ghost. Am I in the right place? Ephesians 5:18, and we'll stop there. Ephesians 5:18. We've said this many, many times, but it needs to be said again. As a matter of fact, let's go over verse 17 first, because that sets it up. Verse 15, really. Ephesians 5:15. Keep going, maybe at chapter 1, so be careful. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Uh-oh. What does walk mean? How you live, how you conduct your daily life, how you order your behavior, your conversation, and your thoughts on a daily. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Boy, do I feel the weight of that more than ever before. Because I understand that no matter, it's not about how long you've been pastoring. You've been pastoring 50 years. I mean, that does not exonerate, that's not the word. That doesn't exempt you from making mistakes. That lets me know you can never relax. But we say that, Saving Private Ryan. Have we not talked that for years and years? I've learned a lot during this time. You can never relax. You're never exempt. Stay focused. Make good use of the time, because the days are evil. How appropriate is that at this time? Verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. Psalm, hymn, and spiritual song. But be filled with the Spirit. You heard it before. Present, active, imperative in the Greek. Present means it is ongoing. But be filled moment by moment. All the time. Be being filled. Filled means led, influenced, dominated, and controlled. Who? By the Holy Spirit. Present, you're doing it all the time. Active, you're doing it. Imperative, it's a command, not a suggestion. Father God, I, as my old black elders used to pray, Father God, we come before you as humbly as we know how. For real. I'm listening by your grace and your mercy. Yes, I've been praying for Dr. John F. MacArthur, but I've been praying for Gregory T. Harris as well. Because I know I'm a mess. I need help. At our old church, Father, we used to sing a song, I need thee every hour. That is so true. Thank you, Jesus. I'll end with my prayer that you gave me. Help me to be continually conscious of my own feebleness, my weaknesses, inadequacies, shortcomings, and limitations, and to distrust my own powers, might, abilities, and strength, and to always, always, and in everything and at all times, look to you, for aid, help, support, and strength. Because you told me in your word, and you don't make mistakes and you don't lie, that I can boldly say with absolute confidence and unshakable assurance that the Lord is my helper. I thank you for helping me. Thank you for giving me another comforter. The one called alongside to help, to lead, who will guide us into all truth, who will teach us, show us things to come. Thank you that we hear your voice and the voice of a stranger we will not follow, but we hear your voice. And when we hear, we'll obey it. And when your spirit speaks to me, then with my whole heart, I will agree. And my answer will be what? Yes, Lord, yes. Now unto him who is able to keep me from falling, and to present me faultless, that's a miracle, before the presence of your glory, which will cause within me exceeding joy, because I've been found faultless. You are the only wise God. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now in time and forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.